1. August. Jake rolls over and hits me in the face with his hand. It takes me a second to realize where I am. I must have fallen asleep while waiting for him to come home from his meeting last night. He said he'd be home at 6 on the nose and couldn't wait for his Valentine's Day gift. But before I gave him his Jason Tatum jersey, I wanted to give him his first treat. So at exactly 10 of 6, I stripped naked, lay in front of his fireplace, and covered myself in my handmade chocolates. Being the owner of Chocolate Curls, a little chocolate shop on the corner of Main Street in Buckland has its advantages. I love my job and what I've created, mostly because it's the only place where I feel like I have a handle on things. Everywhere else, I'm known as the messy brunette with ears that stick out too far and chocolate smeared on her neck. My parents always tell me I don't stop and think before I do or say something. Which is probably true, seeing as salted caramels and a fresh Brazilian wax don't exactly mix. Salted caramels are Jake's favorite candy, and Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday. I wanted to surprise him with something he'd remember. At least I'll definitely remember it. Ouch. Salt and a smooth vag is a terrible combination. Speaking of terrible combinations, chocolates and fireplaces and being naked don't really mix either, but I didn't think my own boyfriend would stand me up on Valentine's Day. However, I thought I timed it all right and Jake would walk in and tell me how sexy and creative I am. Instead, I was a mess in under 5 minutes, which isn't new, but it's the thought that counts. After a shower, a few glasses of wine, and no response from Jake after texting and calling him several times, I ate some leftover pizza, alone. Then I watched a stupid, sappy Hallmark movie that made me incredibly jealous of the main character, who definitely isn't a mess like me. Jake's been working some late nights, and says his job as a financial advisor is at risk with all this AI stuff. So after my sad meal, I headed up to his bedroom and turned on another Hallmark movie and fell asleep. I've been trying to be an understanding girlfriend, but to be late on Valentine's Day without a call or text is a shitty move. I didn't even hear him come in last night. Or maybe it was this morning. I hear him now, though. His snoring is so damn loud, I'm sure the entire block can hear him. Jake is on top of his army green comforter, and his tie is loose around his neck. He's on his side, his open mouth in my face, and he smells like vinegar and spoiled apples and sweat. I close my eyes and roll on my back to get some fresh air because, good lord, I think I'm drunk from his sweat and breath fumes. His phone lights up, and I see it's still clutched in his hand. After another flash, then another, I look down and see his brother, Lowell, has left quite a few messages. Jake lets out a huge snore that sounds like a buzzsaw, and I stumble to the bathroom, my scrunchie sliding out of my hair as I do. After I take a much-needed pee, I paw around the dark room for my scrunchie as another flash of light comes from Jake's phone. When I make my way back to bed and grab my phone from the bedside table, I see it's almost 6 in the morning. Enough time to wake Jake up with my mouth, just how he likes, then shower and head to work. The day of love has come and gone, but Chocolate Curls will be busy since it's a cold Saturday, and people love to browse all the quaint shops in Buckland. Of course, I'm excited to see what Jake got me for Valentine's Day. I'm sure there's a little pink bag, or dainty jewelry box, or a plush robe waiting for me downstairs. He probably didn't want to wake me up last night, even though I left him a few messages telling him to make sure he woke me up, because I was excited to give him the jersey he's been talking about since Christmas. After securing my hair into a ponytail, I get into position by bending over Jake's hips. I stop when his phone lights up again. Another text from his brother, Lowell. Okay. Now I'm worried, because Jake and Lowell rarely speak and have a strained relationship. Jake says Lowell thinks he's better than everyone in the rest of the family, which seems to be true from the few times I've met Lowell over the last 2 years. So what if he volunteers on Sunday mornings at the soup kitchen and is the most sought-after mason in the state of Maine? He doesn't have to be so damn smug. Lowell hardly ever comes to family gatherings, and when he does, he leaves early. I've seen him around town a few times because when he's been working on a fireplace or stone wall near my condo or Chocolate Curls, he always pops by to say hello, although I'm not sure why because he just stares at me and doesn't say much. The guy never smiles either. Like, never. It's unnerving.